All right, all right. What's happening, Dr. Dre?
What's up, Rob Ford? You know, don't adjust it. You know, you got to get this party started. You know how it is. Here we go. Ready?
Let's make it do what it do, Doc. The time is now. Go ahead and hit it, Dre.
What? Your time is up. My time is now. You can't beat me. My time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. I love that. My time is now. Yeah, what's going on, folks? Of course, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I can never get enough of that, Rob. Man, it's exciting. Welcome, of course,
Mr. DJ, Andre Peterson.
Try to hold it down, DJ Dre 1800. But you know the drill, as always, welcome to another packed edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. Today is Wednesday, April the 4th, and as always, we got such a packed show. Real quick, I'm always here to set the table. A lot of things to talk about. First and foremost, we're going to recap Kentucky's championship team. A lot of moves with that. I'm sure no one thought they were going to lose. I mean, I'm sure Kansas gave them a nice little run, but they were pretty much predicted to win it, and they came through as far as that. We're going to update some slight moves in the NFL free agency. We're going to talk a little bit more about the mock and draft coverage, and of course, we're going to preview the NBA stretch run, as that is wrapping up. And hopefully, maybe we'll talk about some spring football stuff. We'll see. But a lot of things to set the table. And for those that want to call in, once again, the number is 424-243-9519. Woo! We'll take a step back. Rob Ford, how you doing, sir?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Let's get this party started, Doc. How's everything going for you?
It's been a whirlwind, as you can imagine, with a lot of things going on. And let's jump right into the championship team. Oh, I apologize, Rob.
Oh yeah, you got to play it again. It's so nice.
Yeah, huh? I'm so excited here. It's me, but it's all good. Anyway, let's jump right into that and recap of Kentucky's championship team. And obviously, we pretty much didn't think anyone was going to beat them. Possibly a healthy Syracuse team could have done some damage, and possibly a healthy North Carolina team. And I don't know what you thought about that. Obviously, they were both talented, but you know, Anthony Davis did his thing. Obviously, Marcus, who's my big guy here? Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was playing his heart out. Man, what a great team. And I kind of want to get your thoughts on as far as maybe some potential draft picks on that team and kind of your thoughts about the game.
Well, I'll say this about this Kentucky team. I think this is the most athletic college basketball team I've seen in a long time. I think it's the best college basketball team since the 1990 UNLV Running Rebels. And I know that may be saying a lot, but this is an explosive basketball team. The best two players in college basketball that plays for Kentucky, that's Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. If both of those kids decide to come out, they're going to go 1 and 2 in this year's draft. I mean, that's how good this basketball team is. You know, very explosive, very athletic, definitely the most athletic college basketball team, like I said, that I've seen since the 1990 UNLV Running Rebels. And we know that UNLV team beat Duke by 30 points in that national championship game, and UNLV went undefeated that next year before getting upset in the tournament. But this is definitely the best team that I've seen since that UNLV squad. And I sure hope that my New Orleans Hornets can somehow get this number one pick, because we sure like to have Anthony Davis down in the bayou. We most certainly could use him. I just think this team is very explosive. We look like we might have at least 5 first-round picks if these guys decide to come out, and maybe even 6. The only team that I thought was capable of beating Kentucky was Carolina, and once Carolina lost Kendall Marshall in the tournament, that just wasn't going to happen. And, I don't really think the game was as close as the score indicates. Kentucky was just hands down better than Kansas. And I have to just admit that I'm just very impressed with this Kentucky team. And I don't know if we'll see a team this good for at least another 20 years or so.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, because hopefully if you're Kentucky, you're hoping that these guys can stay. But, you know, that's not going to happen, obviously. I think Teague is going to come back. But as you mentioned, Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Gilchrist actually impressed me as well. Just had a pretty long athletic guy, if you look, you know, 6'7" guy.
He created his own shot, too, and get to the basket with ease.
Shot. Yeah, just very, I was very impressed with how he played, especially against Louisville. And, you know, like you said, just very impressive to see this team put together. And you know, like I said, I know they haven't said anything about coming out, but it's pretty much one of those situations where you have to come out, especially for Anthony Davis. And not to talk about the Hornets, too. And some things can happen, too. Obviously, Charlotte's got the worst record in the league right now. So, you know, unless something happens, you know, I think that's going to be tough for you guys, unless you guys pull out a great get lucky in the lottery, too. But I know, like, Thomas Robinson.
But we're the third worst team right now.
Yeah. So Thomas Robinson is up there. There's a lot of. I think you can go. You can't go wrong with a lot of. There's a lot of good talented guys coming out from Harrison Barnes, Jeremy Lamb.
It's a deep draft.
I mean, Jared Solinger. There's a lot of players here, and I'd like to get your take on Kendall Marshall as well too. There's a lot of good guards. You know, obviously Austin Rivers is coming out, big 6'4" guards, and so it's going to be interesting too to see how this draft is going to actually play out too. So it's a deep draft. You're going to have a lot of talented players too. And somebody was actually saying that Anthony Davis could actually have a Tim Duncan-like career. And I know that's saying a lot if you're Anthony Davis, too, because, you know, you really didn't see a lot of him scoring, if you will. He affected the game in other different ways, too. But that's what they said. They said this guy has the potential to be kind of a Tim Duncan-type player. And if you're Anthony Davis, sure, you'd be even, you know, just happy to be mentioned in the same company as a guy like Tim Duncan. But I don't know your thoughts about
that. Well, I'll tell
you what.
Watching Anthony Davis, he's got Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett kind of potential. He's a strong rebounder. He's a great shot blocker. He can handle the ball like a guard. And he has a high basketball IQ, and that's one of the things you compare. Easy to compare him with Tim Duncan. He's got a very strong, high basketball IQ. He doesn't make many mistakes on the court. He knows what he's doing. He's always in the right place at the right time. And he's got a nice shot. He can shoot the ball. He doesn't shoot the ball a lot because he's on a very talented Kentucky team. But he can easily be a 20 to 22 point scorer in the NBA. He can be a 10 to 12 rebound guy a night. He can be a 3 to 4 block shots a night. I mean, you take that any day of the week in the NBA, and he's got that kind of potential. Like I said, he needs to get a little bit stronger, but he's got the tools, and he's got the fundamentals down, and he definitely has the potential to be a Tim Duncan / or Kevin Garnett kind of player, and the NBA scouts see that. He's quick off the floor, too. I mean, he gets off the ground so quick, playing defense and getting in rebounding position. So this guy is definitely, clearly the number one pick in the draft. And Kid Gilchrist, like I said, is a solid number two. He can create his own shot. He's a strong defender. And so I think you'll be happy, if you can get one or two of those guys. I tell you, if my Hornets get lucky, we can get the one and number two. We're going to have two lottery picks. So I know that might be hard, but we're wishing. we'd like to have both of those guys.
Gotcha.
And getting on Kendall Marshall, you talked about Kendall Marshall and Austin Rivers. I'll just give some quick comments on them real quick. Kendall Marshall, I think, is a dynamic floor general. You know, he gets the ball in the right place. The thing that's going to hurt Kendall Marshall at the next level, he's going to have to develop a three-point shot. He's got to develop his outside shot, and he's got to be a better defender. But as far as running an offense, running a fast break, he will be great at doing that. But it ought to be a top-notch NBA player. He's going to have to improve his defense, and he's going to have to improve his outside shot. And Austin Rivers, I think the question scouts is trying to figure out with him right now, is he a point guard or is he a two guard? He's about 6'4". He can shoot the ball, but, you know, is he a tweener? And most guys that are tweeners are usually role players in the NBA, which means he'll probably develop into a guy coming off the bench. He doesn't have the playmaking ability of Kendall Marshall, but he's got the shot that Kendall Marshall doesn't have. So, you know, he's probably more of a tweener. Is he a point? Is he a two? And, I tell you, if you can put that Austin Rivers on Kendall Marshall's body, I mean, you're talking about a great point guard for the NBA. Mm-hmm. But I think both of those guys Rivers is probably going to be picked somewhere between 9 and 11. Kendall Marshall is probably going to be picked somewhere between 13 and 15. But I think teams would be happy to have those guys, whether it be a role player or if they can develop into a starter.
Tell me your thoughts real quick about Harrison Barnes and kind of what you think about him, because I know he was a guy that was projected to be obviously higher if he came out the year before. But, I mean, I guess he's pretty similar. Similar stats to probably top five pick, but kind of your thoughts as far as how he projects in the at the next level.
Well, Ken, Harrison Barnes, I think as far as creating his own shot, he might be the most pro-ready guy as far as scoring the ball. But the problem with Harrison Barnes, he doesn't have a killer instinct. He looks like sometimes he plays a little passive. And he can shoot the ball, he can score the ball, but if he can develop a killer instinct, he might be the most pro-ready guy as far as putting the ball in the hoop in the NBA. Not a strong defender. He's going to have to improve in that area. He's going to get picked somewhere between 4 and 6. I think right now, Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, if those two guys come out, they're 1 and 2. If Thomas Robinson come out, he'll be number 3. More than likely, Harrison Barnes is probably next, right behind those three guys. Probably be the number 4 pick. At worst, he'll probably drop to number 6 or somewhere, but he's probably somewhere in that 4 to 6 range.
Good deal. And the last person, I guess, is like, I don't know if you had anything to talk about. There's one more North Carolina, well, two more North Carolina guys. John Henson, how'd you thought about him? And obviously, I'm not sure if you want to talk about Tyler Zeldner, but what do you think about John Henson in the next level?
John Henson, he's another guy that's going to have to get stronger. He's going to have to get in the weight room. And but he's not, I don't think he's a lottery pick. I think he's a guy that's going to be just outside that lottery number. He's probably going to be somewhere between 15 to 17. He'll be a solid role player in the NBA, guy that can come off the bench and block shots and rebound. I see him as being like a 14 to 16, and I see Tyler Zeller in the same range. But Tyler Zeller's got a lot of size. He can score the ball in the low post. I think, you know, Tyler Zeller, in my opinion, could be a starter in the NBA, but definitely a very nice role player in the NBA. Another guy we talked about, Jared Sullinger. And Sullinger is probably going to be a top 10 pick, great low post scorer. You know, if he gets in position, you can't stop him. He's about 6'10", 280 pounds. I personally think he needs to lose a little bit of weight. And he's not very athletic. If he's going against a guy that can jump out of the gym, Sullinger typically gets his shots blocked by those guys. You saw that with Thomas Robinson in Kansas in the semifinals in the Final Four this past weekend. So that's the weakness. I think Sullinger is going to have to lose a little weight. I think he can lose about 20 pounds personally so he can, you know, get some of that athleticism back. But once he gets positioned in that low block, he's hard to defend, and he's developed a nice face-up game as well. He can shoot the ball from about 15 to 20 feet out. But I think, you know, the problem with Sullinger is I think most pro scouts have come to find out that he's just not very athletic, and he can get a shot blocked quite a bit in the NBA.
He reminds me somewhat of a Carlos Boozer, if you will. So, you know, just kind
that's
of
a good analogy.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of reminds me of. But
that's a know. Good comparison.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, Boozer's been able to carve out a niche. And like I said, a very strong guy in the low post. But, you know, like you said, I'm sure if he would have came out a year before, he'd have been a higher pick. But, you know, like you said, I think he was hurt a lot this year. I do think, like you said, it has to do with him not being in shape. If he loses some pounds, I mean, obviously he's not that athletic. But he's definitely going to be a solid player, I think, at the next level, too. So, yeah, we'll see. A good pick. So once again, for those who want to call, I'm going to give the number out real quick. Rob, the number is 424-243-9519. Don't forget also to tweet us at 12manSports. A lot of things, and also like us on Facebook. A lot of things going on. I guess Rob, you don't have any last comments before we move on. We've got about 15 minutes left in the show. I don't know if you want to see anything you want to wrap up as far as the championship game and kind of your thoughts about that.
Well, once again, just like to congratulate the Kentucky Wildcats. For those of you all maybe listening in Kentucky, I know it's an exciting time for you all. Congratulations. What a great team. And we'll have to see what kind of team, you know, John Calipari just keeps reeling in recruits. So whether these guys all go to the NBA, I'm sure they're still going to have a pretty good squad next season. You know, don't know if they'll be this good, but, you know, it's kind of hard to project, you know, a top five for college basketball next season because we just don't know. Maybe by the month of May, if you guys stay tuned, early May, we'll probably give some projections into college basketball. I think by then we'll kind of know who's going pro, who's not going. And maybe we'll give a preseason preview who we think may be top five in college basketball next season once we have all of those numbers. And then we'll kind of know where a lot of these high school recruits are going to be signing too. So may help us with projecting a little bit into next season. But meantime, maybe we can tap into a little NFL talk here and a little NFL mock draft, if you will.
Yeah, sounds good. Just don't go too crazy with the celebrations. That's all I have to say, okay? Just don't go too crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, let's jump into some NFL talk, obviously. Not as much moves. I know the first week or the last week of March, we had a lot of movement here. So I don't know if you want to recap some interesting moves that you had. And we'll maybe talk about some sleepers in the NFL draft. So go ahead and talk about some key moves that just happened recently on the NFL front, if you will.
Well, I'll just make a quick comment about Philadelphia Eagles here. They just had a bad break with Jason Peters, the starting left tackle.
Yes.
Looks like he's going to be out for the season. I mean, you're talking about a team who already did not have a great offensive line, and now they're losing their best offensive lineman. And, you know, Michael Vick took a lot of vicious hits last season. So this is not very good for him, losing left tackle. You know, even though it's technically Michael Vick is a left-handed quarterback, so his blind side is more of his right tackle, but still losing Jason Peters is a huge blow to an offensive line that wasn't that great. They did sign Demetrius Bell today to try to replace him. You know, obviously not as good as Jason Peters, but, you know, this is a team that I think was kind of weak in a few areas, and I think one was offensive line, another was the linebacker position, and a little bit on the interior of the defensive line, too. So those are some position groups that the Eagles are going to have to improve in, and they just took a blow with losing all-pro left tackle and Jason Peters. So in Demetrius Bell's case, he's a solid player, but just not the caliber of Peters. So they're going to have to find a way to improve that offensive line. As of right now, I have them taking Dontari Poe, defensive tackle out of Memphis in the first round, who's a rising player. He may not even be available then at number 15, but they need some improvement in that area as well. So it's a slight blow to them. And, you know, my Saints look like they've totally revamped the linebacker position. Look like they're prepared for life after Vilma, if Vilma is suspended. We're getting Curtis Lofton, Chris Chamberlain, and just a couple of days, well, just yesterday, as a matter of fact, signed the starting linebacker from Seattle, David Hartthorne. So it looked like we're going to go out there with a total new linebacker group coming up this season. So just a couple of teams that just made some moves here in the last few days. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting.
It is going to be very interesting, too. Obviously, NFL, they revealed some new Nike uniforms, so they're excited about that. I know the Saints' appeal is going to be coming up tomorrow on Thursday, so we'll have some key notes about that the next show. And, you know, there's a lot of little notes that have been going on, obviously, as far as there have been some shots about Donovan McNabb, kind of taking some shots at Mike Shanahan, if you will. I don't know if you want to talk about anything that's been going on as far as, you know, that's what's been in the news. As far as that, and also surprising, Robert Griffin III has not decided to work out for the Colts. So that was per his agent. So, right, actually, you found out that he didn't work for anyone. So I don't know if anything you want to talk about as far as anything new that's going to happen too. And obviously, if anyone wants to hear about their team and anything that Robert has for the mock draft, call us in and kind of get your feedback about that too. So and also, big news as far as LeGarrette Blount from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers saying he would not be happy if the Bucks take Trent Richardson. So a lot of things going on, if you will. I mean, not as much as Peyton Manning and Tim Tebow, but kind of your thoughts as far as a lot of little stories that have been going on, Rob.
Yeah, and another quick tidbit, Jonathan Vilma and Peter King having a little Twitter war last night. That was a little interesting as well, too. So there's a little bit of news going around in the NFL, but I'll have a first comment on Robert Griffin III. Well, first of all, I want to comment on Donovan McNabb's comment about Robert Griffin III won't be a good fit with the Redskins. First of all, Donovan McNabb, if you're listening tonight, shut your mouth. You know, I mean, just because it didn't work out with you with the Redskins doesn't mean it won't work out with Robert Griffin III. I mean, I think personally this is a great fit for Robert Griffin III going to Washington. I mean, you go into a market that has a huge African-American population, you know, and, Washington, D.C. is also known as Chocolate City. So, I mean, I think it's a great fit for him. You know, two suburb counties of Washington, D.C., Prince George's County and Montgomery County are the two richest majority African-American counties in America. So I think it's a great fit for Robert Griffin III. And also, I think his quarterbacking style is perfect for Mike Shanahan. Mike Shanahan likes these rollout quarterbacks, likes to do a lot of sprint outs and play action, bootleg plays. And at his pro day, the Redskins officials left there smiling. I mean, they can't wait to work with this kid. And Robert Griffin III is a bright kid, extremely smart, very accurate with the football, very athletic. I think it's a match made in heaven. So, to Donovan McNabb, shut your mouth and let this thing play out, you know. And I think, personally, I don't think what Donovan McNabb said was the correct thing to do. I think it's a match made in heaven. And as far as him not working out for the coach, I think his agent probably feels like it's just that one of those kind of things that he just feels like the coach is definitely going to go with Andrew Luck. I am a little bit surprised, though, that he didn't allow him to go work out there just to kind of see maybe if he can outshine Luck in a, you know, personal workout. So that's a little bit surprising. But maybe he's just set on going to the Redskins. I'm not sure. And but it's a little surprising that he didn't go out and work out for the Colts. So, you know, I'm a little surprised by that. And as far as LeGarrette Blount, I mean, what have you done?
Wow. Yeah.
I mean you're solid. What have you done to the what have you done to go out and say I'm gonna be upset if you draft Trent Richardson? I mean, it's proven that right now in the NFL, you need 2 to 3 running backs to be successful. I mean, it's only going to help your career personally. You're going to be able to play in the league a lot longer, take some of those carries away, take away some of that pounding. So if your coaching decides to go out and get a guy like Trent Richardson, I think it's only going to help you. I mean, you went out and signed Carl Nix, and you also have Davin Joseph. I mean, you might have the two best guards in the league right now. I mean, you can have a dominant running game, and teams are not going to want to face that running game and that offensive line. So you go out and get Trent Richardson, and, you know, me as being a Saints fan and being in the NFC South, I'm almost hoping they go after a guy like Maurice Claiborne. I want to see those two running backs coming at us every week, or well, twice a year.
You're right. It's going to be, obviously LeGarrette Blount adds the power, and then obviously Trent Richardson adds the shiftiness and the speed. So, you know, if you're LeGarrette Blount, I think you may want to take what you said about Donovan to shut up and, you're not big enough to be Peyton Manning to call who the team should draft, you know, but, you added Trent Richardson. That may help you, like you said, not only as far as the carries, but also to bring some competition there, you know, try to make you a little bit better.
You shouldn't be afraid of that.
Yeah, you should embrace it. Say, all right, this guy's going to come in. I want to work hard. And then, like you said, you know, this guy's going to help me as far as longevity. You know, we're kind of changing. We're seeing a shift in the NFL, and that you're most of the main guys. You want your main guy too, but you want to split some carries too. Once that defense is a little tired near the end of the game in the fourth quarter, you want to be able to have both those guys firing on all cylinders to kind of, like I said, I agree with you. If I'm the Falcons or the Saints, you know, it looks like these guys are gearing up to run the ball, you know, and obviously you got to bring your hard hat to be able to play these guys because it's going to be a physical team. And we've always had a physical, obviously, teams in the South too, but, you know, the running game is going to be something of the emphasis, you know.
Yeah, right now in my mock draft, I do have Tampa Bay taking Trent Richardson at number 5, so it's going to be interesting. But I think Maurice Claiborne is definitely going to be up for consideration there too. And of course, as I mentioned on last week's show, Tampa Bay hired LSU's defensive back coach, so he's the defensive back coach for Tampa. So I'm sure he's going to go in that war room and push for Morris Claiborne, too. But I kind of see Tampa getting one of those two guys in this draft. It's either going to be Trent Richardson. And I know Cleveland is even going to consider Trent Richardson. And I think if Cleveland does take him, then I think Tampa would definitely take Morris Claiborne. But I think their number one choice would be Trent Richardson and Claiborne second. But we still got a few more weeks to figure out if that's going to be right or not.
This is going to be an interesting draft, man. Like I said, I'm looking forward to it coming right down to the moment. And hopefully, like I said, either before the show or after the show, we're going to get a chance to preview and talk about that as well. Not to talk about your boy Claiborne, but any thoughts as far as that low Wunderlich score? Do you think it has anything to do with his draft status, if you will, or I don't know, you want to talk about that?
I don't think it's going to hurt his draft stock. I don't think it's going to hurt his draft stock one bit. Now, if he was a quarterback with that kind of Wunderlich score, then yes, I think it would hurt his draft stock tremendously. I mean, a cornerback, I mean, you just go out and cover. You know, just go out and cover. I don't think it takes a whole lot. I mean, you put on the film. You put on the film and you watch this guy cover in college, man. He just blankets receivers. This guy hardly got beat in a few years as a corner at LSU. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I think he's a better pure cover corner than Patrick Peterson coming out of LSU. Peterson might have been a little bit more dynamic as far as playmaking ability and returning kicks and punts and things like that. But as far as a pure cover corner, Morris Claiborne just snatches the ball out of the air. You don't even want to throw the ball his way. Well, not only is he a great cover corner, but he has ball skills. And one of the things I've always heard Sean Payton say, you know, when you have corners that has great ball skills, you think twice about throwing the ball on that side of the field. Not only can he cover, but he has ball skills. He can go out and get the ball. And, you know, if you saw the SEC championship game, you could go went up and snatch interceptions and return it back for a touchdown. I mean, you just don't want to throw the ball this out. I mean, so I don't think in his case a low Wunderlich score, it's kind of embarrassing, I would think, having a low Wunderlich score, but I don't think it's going to hurt his draft stock. Now, if Robert Griffin III or Andrew Luck, or Ryan Tannehill, any of these guys scored a four in a Wunderlich position, at the quarterback position, then yes, I think it would hurt their draft stock because you just have so much mental aspect of the game when it comes to the quarterback position. But a cornerback, just go out there and cover.
I love it. And you know, like I said, I think it is one of the situations, too, where you know maybe he just wasn't prepared or maybe, you know, I'm sure those guys should get, like, some mock Wunderlich test to get it prepared, you know. So yeah, that's just one of the situations. Maybe, you know, and some people don't do well on the standardized test or whatever. So, you know, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to affect his draft stocks. But, you know, it is something that's like, man, you know, a four, come on, man. You know, hopefully, you know, you get certain points for putting your name on the test or something like that, too. But, you know,
yeah.
It is what it is, you know. So hopefully, like I said, he'll bounce back. Like I said, if he wasn't as talented as he was, I'm sure that we wouldn't be having this conversation. So very, very interesting. Rob, we're at the two-minute warning, and the show always flies by, man. I don't know if you want to wrap up anything about the mock draft or you want to talk about the NFL stretch run or if you want to say that for the OT. I'm going to leave that in your hands, if you will, sir, kind of what you think about this.
Well, we can just kind of cap off this show and get ready for the OT and just kind of prep all of you for next week's show. Make sure you tune in same time. Next Wednesday, April the 11th, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. If our fans out there in Hawaii, that's 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Can't wait for you all to join us next week. We're going to have more draft coverage, more NFL coverage. We're going to get more into NBA now that college basketball is officially over. So we got some great topics that's going to be coming up here in the next few weeks. And we may even get into a little bit of Masters coverage next Wednesday. You never know. So we got the Masters coming up this weekend. So for those of you who want to listen into our NBA preview for the stretch run here, tune into our OT. We got 15 more minutes coming up shortly.
And like I said, so you know we're definitely more NBA, NFL based. But you know we'll give a shout out to us in baseball. Obviously, baseball season is starting. This week, so a lot of fun things with that. I'm not a big expert. I actually enjoy the game of baseball and actually seen the games too. But you know, if you want to talk about that as well, we're more than welcome to touch base on that. Obviously, being an Atlanta, big Braves fan, I know Robert's a Yankee fan. But we'll touch base briefly on that too. But as mentioned, we're going to hear a lot about the NFL ruling with the appeal with the Saints, so we'll get a chance to talk about that. And as mentioned, we're going to talk a lot about a lot of stuff that's going on with more NFL free agency movement, and we're in the month of April, so that means that the draft is on the way a couple weeks from that too as well. So don't forget to join us, as Rob mentioned, same time, same channel, 424-243-9519 at 12th Man Sports. Hit us up on Twitter, all that fun stuff. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Good night, people.
And we are off the air. We are officially into the OT. So, Rob Ford, as always, it's an exciting time. Great show as well. And let's kind of preview the NBA stretch run. A lot of things going on, and I was listening to some guys, and they said that LeBron played kind of well without Dwayne Wade. And somebody said he was kind of making a statement that Dwayne and LeBron are kind of the same players, and anytime they're in the half-court offense, kind of stumbles. I don't know what you thought about that. And also, you think it's kind of a situation where it's going to be a problem in the playoffs, you know, with the Heat. So I don't think it is. I'm just kind of getting your thoughts as far as that, and then obviously we can talk about whatever you can talk about as we enter into the OT. So the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, it's amazing that it does seem like the Miami Heat are a better team without Dwayne Wade. I just don't – it's hard to fathom that, but – it does seem like they play a lot better as a team. It seems like LeBron James is more dominant when Dwayne Wade is not playing. And I think what the problem comes down to, they both are dynamic ball players. And I think it comes down to which one is going to be the guy that's going to lead the team. And I think one of the issues is, of course, LeBron James is obviously the better player of the two. But, you know, he came to Miami, which Dwayne Wade was already there. So I think, you know, they wrestle with who should be the guy to lead. And I think when they ever settle down and say, hey, this is LeBron James' team, then I think that team can go to the next level. But so, and I think that's the thing they're wrestling with. And you can see that when Wade is not playing, they're just a lot more dynamic. They play better as a team. And he just creates things for so many of his other playmates, for so many of his other teammates. And so I think that's what I think they can be better with Wade, but they just need to go ahead and decide this is LeBron James' team.
Yeah, it's tough because LeBron is a little younger than D Wade, you know. So it's one of the situations too. But you know, it's still one of the situations where. I hate to say I wasn't a fan of him leaving, taking his talents to elsewhere, but, you know, it's clearly shown that everyone gets better. Like Chalmers has played better. Bosch has played better. And maybe they are right that Dwayne and LeBron are pretty much similar players on the court, too. So it's definitely something to talk about. So, you know, I don't know. But anyway. I don't want to talk about as far as my notes. If you, I don't know if you wanted to preview any teams or anything you want to discuss.
Miami Heat is also, I mean, you think about it, the two most important positions in basketball is point guard, and center, and the big three. None of those guys play those two positions.
And
I think that's one of the things that that can hurt the Heat. Still, is they don't really have a dominant big man or center. Chris Bosh is a power forward, and they don't have a guy that's a dominant point guard. And I just think that if you want to be a really good team, you have to have at least one guy at one of those two positions that can play. I know last week or two shows ago, I might have mentioned that the Bulls I think are going to come out of the East. I'm kind of rethinking that. I still think Miami's probably going to come out of the East. But I tell you, there's going to be a competition that I think is brewing in the West, and that's Oklahoma City and San Antonio. If anybody's noticed out there, San Antonio is on quite a roll. That team's won
nine straight. Yep, I just saw that too.
And with a win tonight, got a big win on the road tonight, and that team's won nine straight. They're playing ball. They're only like a game or two behind Oklahoma City right now. And I see that being a fierce Western Conference Finals. And, you know, and it could be a little bit of young versus old, so it could be an interesting rival. But San Antonio has a lot of young athletes on his team. And Kyrie Leonard, I don't know, a lot of people may not know that name. And Ginobili's playing great. Tony Parker's playing great. They're getting enough out of Tim Duncan right now, even at his age. And they have some solid athletes playing role positions right now. And so Greg Popovich is, in my opinion, one of the best coaches in the game. He just gets those guys ready to play. And they may be a little hungry. They got upset in the first round last season. They went into the playoffs a little injured without Ginobili last season. If that team is healthy, I would not be surprised if they upset Oklahoma City, even though I think Oklahoma City is playing some of the best ball in the NBA right now.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, too, and it's amazing. I'm a big, big fan of Greg Popovich. San Antonio, I know they may not have the flashy team, but they're just a very, very solid team. And as mentioned, they had a lot of injuries last year, and they're a team to be reckoned with, too. These guys are always ready to play, it seems like. I can see them actually competing with, as you mentioned, Oklahoma City in the finals, you know, obviously for the Western Conference Finals. I wouldn't be mad if they actually succumb and beat Oklahoma City, but a lot of things have to play right. Definitely Kevin Durant's been his thing. I think he's definitely on pace to be the MVP this year. But, you know, as you mentioned, you cannot sleep with San Antonio by any means. This is a veteran team. As you mentioned, they added some more pieces, some more athletes, and this is a very, very dangerous team, too. Like you said, I'm rethinking some things. I thought the Clippers would be up there. You know, obviously Chris Paul was a great move for them, too. I know they're kind of hurting. I'm not sure if Chauncey Billups has come back yet, too, just yet. But, you know, those are some teams
that
I like.
No, he's out for the season.
He's out for the season. Yeah, I apologize about that. So, you know, like I said, that's going to affect them as well. So it is interesting to see what goes on with them. But, like you said, I can see that easily going to the finals, if you will.
Yes. I mean, I think it's a two-team race in both conferences. In the East is Chicago, Miami. In the West is San Antonio and Oklahoma City. But the Boston Celtics are playing really well right now, too. And if Rondo is healthy, they can even make a run, too. But right now it looks like a two-team race in each conference. And it should be real interesting. But I definitely think Kevin Durant is the MVP this season, hands down.
Yeah, just exciting to see how, like I said, I've been a fan of him ever since he came out. If you're Portland, you're just thinking, man, what do we have to do to make the right moves here? But they missed
yeah.
a few guys. Like, too, man.
They drafted Greg Oden, and now they even cut him now. It's quite amazing. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, like, so they've lost some talented players from Brandon Roy. But, you know, we'll see how they play that. You know, obviously, if going into the mock draft, they do have the opportunity to possibly get a you know, Andre Drummond or something like that. You know, who knows what happens, or even the Thomas Robinson, Harrison Barnes. We'll see how everything plays out with them. I'm not crying for them by any means. I'm just saying it's just like, man, you know, they had opportunity once again to draft an explosive score, and those guys, you know, not a good move, if you will. Of course, hindsight 2020. But anything else as far
any
as
any NBA sleeper team you think is a surprise in the playoffs?
You know, I was going to go with New York. They're too wishy-washy for me right now. I'm not sure what to think about them. I know the former Hawks coach, Mike Woodson, had been playing on an incredible streak. Jeremy Lin is out for a minute. He might be back for the playoffs, if you will. Not 100% sure how they're going to play with that move, but, you know, that would be my sleeper. I mean, like I said, I'm hoping for the Hawks, but you know, these guys are too much inconsistency. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I still think we're a couple pieces away. And, you know, I mentioned the Clippers, too, kind of outside looking in, too. But, you know, that's me. I don't know if you have anything to say about that, too. This is just me wishful thinking, if you will, as far as some moves, as far as those teams.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's hard to put the word Lakers and sleeper in the same sentence, but
wow.
You know, I think you never can count those guys out either. And of course, you got a defending champion, Dallas Mavericks. I don't think they're the same team. Losing Tyson Chandler, you can clearly see hurt them tremendously on the defensive end. Uh-huh. So, you know, as a team, I think you're going to look out for definitely the Lakers. And watch the Indiana Pacers, too. You're talking about a team that got Danny Granger, and also Roy Hibbert, David West. You know, it'd be hard-pressed to find another NBA team with that kind of front line. So they can even be a sleeper in the playoffs. But once again, I still think it's going to come down to San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Chicago, and Miami.
There's some teams that started out strong. You know, some teams, as you mentioned, you know, like Philadelphia, they've kind of, I mean, they're still kind of in the seventh spot right now. They're still trying to play some, you know, do some things. Indiana's playing really well, as you mentioned, as well as Boston. But, you know, Memphis has still got a dangerous squad I'm looking at. And, you know, those are the ones that you're kind of looking at. We'll see how everything plays out, too, because they're kind of in an interesting position, too. So some talented teams that are looking to make some playoffs, you know, making to make a push into the playoffs here. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out from my vantage point. But, you know, Oklahoma City, they've already clinched their, I think they've already clinched a playoff spot, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, right now, I'm rooting for them to do some things and for Kevin to win his first title, too. So we'll see how, you know, you can't just say that you have to actually play on the court, but it's going to be interesting. Interesting season as we start wrapping it up as well. So that's what Dre's got on the docket.
Exciting time. Can't wait. You know, we only got about two to three more weeks of NBA regular season before the playoff starts.
Yep.
We get into real men basketball.
real men basketball. We'll see how I'm very curious, Robert, to see how the Heat play whenever they start slowing down the half-court offense. I still, like I said, I'm not like a Miami, you know, Heat fan. It's just kind of an interesting story, too, that these guys, I'm sure they want to improve on what happened last year, but, you know, the couple of matchups, you know, I know that the Oklahoma City handed it to Miami one time, and then, you know, obviously they came back and beat them. It looks like the Heat beat Oklahoma City, so it's going to be a good game to see how those teams match up.
Yes, most definitely will be. Should be interesting. Like I said, the Spurs, Oklahoma City, you're talking about old versus new. That should be, I think, interesting if that was to make his way to the Western Conference Finals.
I can see that.
Intriguing styles.
I can see that because, like you said, you know, Manu Ginobili's been hurt last year. I mean, they had a lot of key injuries. You know, but they seem like they just keep pushing along. I mean, Tony Parker's been underrated. I mean, everyone's saying that Darren Williams kind of overtaking him, but, you know, you got a squad that they just keep playing well. I mean, you know, Tim Duncan is doing this thing, and they keep adding extra pieces. And, you know, like you said, they got young and athletic, which is what they needed. And Greg Popovich has done a good job as far as adjusting, too. So, you know, by any means, it's not going to be a cakewalk. You're going to earn it if you're in the Western Conference. And we always thought that was a more of a free-flowing, fast-paced you know, division as opposed to the East is maybe more of a physical, more kind of a half-court driven side, you know. But it's gonna be interesting to say the least.
Yes. Who do you think is Rookie of the Year in the NBA this season?
Rookie of the Year. Wow. I like Irvin from Cleveland.
Yes, I would have to agree with you. I would have to go with Kyrie Irving as well.
I'm trying to think of who else is out there. Jimmy Fredette has been struggling a little bit. I can't think of anyone that's made of a – just off the top of my head, Rob, I can't think of anyone just at this juncture. But that's who I'm going to go with right now. We got about a minute 45 left to the OT2, Rob, if you're going to wrap up anything else to say.
Coach of the Year in the NBA this season.
Coach of the Year. Ha. Scott Brooks, Oklahoma City? I don't know.
I would agree with you there.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with Scott Brooks, too. And, you know, that's a very young team that has kind of coached up to a number one seed. And so I think that's very impressive. I mean, so we pretty much agree with Durant, MVP, Brooks, Coach of the Year, Kyrie Irving, Rookie of the Year, and Sixth Man of the Year.
Sixth Man of the Year. Huh. Ha, 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 that's a tougher one. You already have somebody in your head, don't you? Who do you have in your head? Right? Go ahead. Because you pulled it out. Because I gotta go over some rosters to get this one. Tell me who you think, Sixth Man.
I'm going to Oklahoma City again. James Harden, the bearded one.
I like James Harden. That's one of my favorite players, too. I like him as well. I'd agree, Rob. Crawford is starting right now for Portland, isn't he? I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, but I still don't think he's going to have the year that Harden is having.
Yeah, I was just curious if I'm waiting because he's always done that for us, too. Okay. I'm sure I saw. Anyway, guys, we got about 20-something seconds. Thank you guys for listening to the OT. I know if you guys want to get the tweets in and all that fun stuff, too, but we definitely enjoy you guys listening. Tell your friends, family, all that fun stuff at 12th Man, 424-243-9519. We'll see you guys next week.
Good night, people.
Good night, folks. We'll talk to you soon.